Welcome back, my friends. Esther 6 today, and we have reached a new low in the story. Esther's initial success, inviting the king to her banquet and not dying, brought some hope. But as evening gives way to night, Haman's renewed hatred for Mordecai has us just hours away from Mordecai's execution. Haman's guard are building a 75-foot pole as we speak. When will God show up? Back at Grandpa's reading, your little cousin keeps repeating the phrase, God's timing, and her brother is getting annoyed. If God had good timing, why didn't he just show up already and prevent all this mess? Now again, I'm making up the bit about the kids, but I want us to wrestle over this. And for me, this helps. And remember the times and our questions from the beginning. Israel's exile is officially over. Many Israelites returned home to rebuild. God's great declaration over this time will be, return to me, and I will return to you. Ezra and Nehemiah will lead them. Ezra means helper, and Nehemiah means comfort from the Lord. Both names are clear references to the Holy Spirit, our helper and comforter. And they will dramatically illustrate the Spirit's work restoring us. But what about those here who haven't returned? What of their hero? Esther's name just means star, in Persian no less. Will God even show up? But remember too that Esther sounds almost like the Hebrew word for hidden. Could Esther also picture the more subtle and hidden work of the Holy Spirit? Your cousins are back at it. Sister is convinced that God is already here. Esther was made queen, wasn't she? Yeah, but that was so random. It's just because she's attractive. And what she had to do was ungodly. So how can you say God was part of that? Sister comes right back. Well, what about Mordecai? He's godly. Adopted his orphan cousin. Protects her. He even saved the king's life. Brother is unmoved. A lot of good that did him. The king hardly noticed. And now he's going to die by impaling. I guess no good deed goes unpunished. Then he digs in. How can you look at a few random bright spots in a total mess situation and see God in it all? That one stung, and not just for Sister. The room is quiet. You look to Grandpa to settle the argument, but all you get from him is a little eyebrow lift that goes back and forth for each point and counterpoint. How does he do that? Finally, both eyebrows go up, and he returns to the story. Guess we'll let the story decide. Chapter 6, verse 1. That night, the king could not sleep, so he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing has been done for him, his attendants answered. Now here's a twist. Late at night, for no good reason at all, it just so happens that the king can't sleep. And then it just so happens, of all the things he could request, he asks for the Chronicles to be read, the daily record of happenings in the king's court. And of all the thousands of days to read, they just so happen to pick this one day from 4 years earlier, that totally forgotten day that Mordecai saved the king's life. Grandpa's one eyebrow lifts again. The one on Sister's side. She smiles. Back in the king's court, Xerxes has a problem. Persian kings made it a priority to reward loyalty. Mordecai saved the king 4 years ago. What to do? Verse 4. The king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. Pause there. Just so happened. The king's late night just lined up with Haman's early morning. Sister is smiling a little too much now. Verse 5. His attendants answered. Haman is standing in the court. Bring him in, the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, "What should be done for the man the king delights to honor?" Now Haman thought to himself, "Who is there that the king would rather honor than me?" Now that is some classic ego. The king wants to honor someone, and Haman can't think of anyone else who it could possibly be. Be careful, Haman. Proverbs has something to say about this. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. And be careful, you and me. Another sign of someone wise in their own eyes is thinking that warnings like this don't apply to me. Back to Haman, verse 7. So he answered the king, "For the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor, and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, 'This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor.'" Oh man, Haman goes all in. This is his dream. Dress me like the king, set me on the king's horse, and honor me. Anyone smell envy here? He wants the king's honor for this hypothetical hero. Verse 10. "Go at once," the king commanded Haman. "Get the robe and the horse, and do just as you have suggested. For Mordecai, the Jew, who sits at the king's gate, do not neglect anything you have recommended." Remember that moment. And what I wouldn't give to see Haman's face in that moment. The evil man, the Jew hater, the genocidal warmonger with his heart set on killing Mordecai that morning so that he can go enjoy wine and cheese with the king and queen. This moment is gold. The buildup. Go at once. Get all that stuff. Haman thinks he's in. His dream's about to happen. Do that for Mordecai, the Jew. Glorious. Sister is pleased as punch. Grandpa's eyebrows smile back. I don't know how, but they do. Verse 11. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor." So Mordecai is honored. First off, good on you, Mordecai. You deserve it. And good on the king for making it right. But don't miss the Bible foreshadowing. A faithful servant who saved others, cared for orphans, and laid down his life to be identified with his people, is finally led on the king's horse through the city with shouts of praise. Remind you of someone? Okay, so Jesus rode a donkey. He's humble. But the pre-echo is clear. And notice the honor. Philippians tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't think every tongue will be happy about it. Haman is not happy, but King's orders, and he shouts. The close of chapter 6 is quite telling. In verse 12, Mordecai returns to the king's gate, back to work. He's a faithful servant, and Haman rushes home with his head covered. In verse 13, he told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, "Since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin." While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried Haman away to the banquet Esther had prepared. Even his wife sees it. Servants too. There's something about these Jewish people. You've taken your stand, Haman. Do Haman's friends see God in this? I don't know. Do you? A few lessons to take with us here. The first is from your cousin. God's timing. If you want God's plan and God's purpose, then you have to trust God's timing. That's not easy, but it's crucial. Romans 5 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." And Ephesians says, "He made known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. God's timing. The second lesson here, your work is not forgotten. Hebrews 6 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So be faithful in the little things, even when your boss doesn't notice. Some kings forget. It pays to serve a king who forgets your sins but never forgets your work. And lesson 3, don't miss God in the details. Sometimes it just so happened is more than coincidence. And could I tell you some stories? Is brother convinced? I don't know. I think it might be his own story he's wrestling with, not just Esther's. Besides, we're not done yet. A little parade doesn't save the Jews slated for death. The king's edict still stands. Read Esther 6 and hold on for Esther's second banquet.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.